Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/behindthebadge.
This is just so fun. Jesus Arellano is an angler, and I guess he has actually people following him on his YouTube channel. Jesus, it's John Williams. This is WGN Radio. How are you today?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, congratulations. I've never seen people catch such beautiful fish right there off the banks of Lake Michigan.
Oh, my God, yes. It was an amazing day that day for sure.
The Sun-Times had a picture of you with one fish, but you caught three different species that they were talking about. What did you pull in the other day?
So that day, I got really lucky. I wasn't expecting to catch those three species. I was targeting coho salmon, which are in season right now. But also, I got lucky and I pulled in a brown trout. And then shortly after that, I pulled in a lake trout. Now, the coho, they're smaller fish, but the brown trout, I think it was roughly around 7 pounds. And then the laker was more around in the 15-pound range.
Are those healthy fish? Are they tasty fish? Are they safe to eat?
You know, they are safe to eat. Lake Michigan, surprisingly, is one of the cleanest waters out there. You know, you can eat them on a daily basis. The larger fish, like that 15-pound lake trout, probably isn't the tastiest. But that coho salmon, people love to eat that coho salmon. It's a younger fish. The meat is orange, and it tastes real good.
Huh. Oh, so is it true, maybe like livestock, the older they get, the tougher the meat gets?
Correct, yeah. It's not. Yeah, it just doesn't taste as good.
So I was trying to figure out exactly where you were. I'm looking at the picture of you with this lake trout, this great big fish. It's about the size of half of your body. Where are you pulling these in?
That day I was by the planetarium, right next to the planetarium, between the aquarium and the planetarium.
Okay, I appreciate you telling me that. I wasn't sure you were going to, Jesus.
Oh, you know, the lakefront is vast. There's a lot of spaces. I mean, you can fish from many of the 10 harbors out there. Any of the harbors right now, if you go out there, you'd probably get lucky with at least a trout.
No kidding. So I guess that was my next question. Generally up and down the lakeshore, say from the science and industry up north to the curve, there's fishing all along the way?
You know, I usually fish from like Montrose. I do Belmont, Diversey, North Avenue, then DuSable, Monroe, and I go down all the way to 63rd and sometimes to 87th Street. But 63rd is usually as far as I go sometimes.
And do you catch and release? Do you generally fillet these? What do you do?
You know, 90% of the time I do release. Some fish, if I know they're not going to make it, I'll keep them and I'll hand them to, you know, some of my friends. Sometimes, like in the fall, I catch these huge king salmon from shore, and they can be a good eating fish. And if it's a female, I keep the spawn and use it for bait.
No kidding. Well, I'm encouraged by that. Does it make sense to ask you what you use for bait? What are you putting on the end of your hook there?
I do a lot of casting. I do crankbaits, deep diving crankbaits, depending on the depth of the water. I do spinner baits. That day I caught the coho trout and laker. I was using a MEP spline C spinner. It's a heavier spinner bait, so it rides lower in the water column. Mm-hmm. And then I was using like a pink rooster tail.
One last thing for you, Jesus. You said that actually there's that Lake Michigan is one of the healthier lakes and that the fish are certainly edible. Is the fishing better these days? Can you describe it? If I went out there, would I get some bites?
You know, if you have basic understanding of fishing, you can potentially get lucky. It all depends on the season. Like right now, you can catch brown trout, steelhead, coho, Lakers. And then later on in the summer, you can catch like smallmouth bass, perch, pike, and carp, if you like.
What about along the river? Is it good fishing on the Chicago River?
Oh, that's a great question, because I do like fishing the river. Surprisingly, there's a great, it's a great fishery right now. There's a lot of bass. There's like smallmouth bass, largemouth bass. There's catfish. I got surprised once, and I got a walleye out of there. There's crappie and bluegill. I mean, there's a lot of fish in the river. Hmm. And as you know, the river's reverse, so it's cleaner by the lakefront because the water from the lake is being pushed in. So downtown river is really clean. Some people do eat the fish, but I tend to not. Like I said, I usually release all my fish.
Jesus Arellano is an angler who's actually got a YouTube channel. If I want to watch you, where do I go?
My channel is Jesus312Fishing or Jesus312Fishing. And if you go on my channel, you can see all the species that I catch by season. And you can definitely see what types of lures and you get hints of where I'm at.
Yeah, right. Jesus312Fishing on YouTube. Hey, congratulations, Jesus. Nice to talk to you. And it's good to get the word that there's good, clean water and good, clean fish out there. I'm glad you joined us.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, Chicago's an amazing place to fish, so go ahead and give it a try.
Yeah, the guy caught three big, beautiful fish right off the shore Lake Michigan at Adler Planetarium, and he fishes up and down the coast, if you will, from, say, the Museum of Science and Industry all the way north past Montrose and Belmont. And I said, well, is the fish any good? He said, well, the big ones I don't eat. I said, why not? And he said, well, you know, those forever chemicals. So suddenly the water doesn't sound so clean and pure. We called Aaron Martin with the Illinois Department of Public Health to talk about this for a couple minutes. Hey, Aaron, it's John. You're on the air. How are you?
I'm good, John. How are you?
Good. What do you make of that story? The guy said, I catch the fish. They're beautiful. The water's clean. I don't eat the big ones. Good advice?
I think that probably is good advice. So we have fish consumption advisories for Lake Michigan, and they're based on the type of fish as well as the size of fish. And just generally speaking, older, larger fish have had more time to accumulate contaminants. So if you're opting for the smaller fish, you're going to protect yourself.
The fish themselves seem to be okay. Is that true?
Yes, but larger fish that eat smaller fish accumulate contaminants like PCBs in their fatty tissue. And so when humans eat those fish, you can be exposed to PCBs if you're not taking the right steps to protect yourself.
So you said one meal per week for salmon less than 24 inches, one meal per month for salmon 24 inches or longer.
Yeah, so for background, we have a partnership with other state agencies, the Department of Natural Resources and the Illinois EPA. DNR has the fun job. They get to go out on Illinois waters, including Lake Michigan, and collect fish. They submit the fish tissue to EPA, where they analyze the fish samples for PCBs, mercury, and several different pesticides. And then we come together in February or March of each year and discuss the need for new advisories or relaxed advisories based on those samples. So for Lake Michigan, we have a coho salmon advisory. If it's shorter than 24 inches, you can eat that salmon as often as every week. The longer fish, the bigger fish, I think greater than 24 inches, you want to limit your consumption to once per month.
And I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you're all doing that, although it makes me think, well, maybe I just won't eat them at all because I don't want any of those things. The popular topic these days seems to be, quote unquote, forever chemicals. Is that what we're talking about here, or is that a whole new batch of concerns?
That's a whole different class of chemicals that in Illinois we haven't yet started analyzing fish for, but that's coming down the pipeline. In a few years, we may begin to issue our first PFAS-related consumption advisories. In the meantime, I would suggest if you're a fisherman, particularly if you're eating a lot of local caught fish, I would say make sure you're familiar with our advisories and follow the current consumption advice. If you do that, you're probably going to be protected from other things.
I get that, but I wonder what that says about fish in general from the grocery store or the fish market or, you know, the grocery store.
Well, so those fish, I'm not sure if those are tested for PFAS, but they have to be FDA limits for other chemicals like mercury and PCBs. So it's safe to eat store-bought fish as well.
Do you talk to me for just a second about the cleanliness or safety of Lake Michigan water generally, either for fishing and consuming fish or swimming, et cetera, consuming? How clean is that water in Lake Michigan?
You know, I might bounce that. I'm not sure that I can answer that question. That falls a little bit outside my wheelhouse.
You're with the public health section for environmental toxicology. So it's probably, well, put it this way. I swim in Lake Michigan. People swim in Lake Michigan. You consume water as you do so. Some of it gets in your mouth, your nose, your ear, et cetera. I'm not saying drink it right out of the lake, but evidently it's safe enough to swim in Lake Michigan. You're more concerned about what then? Is it the toxicology of fish? What else are you studying?
Yeah, so one, I'll make a plug. We do, I believe, on our website have a beach monitoring program where we look for coliform bacteria in surface waters.
Right.
So it's probably safe to swim in the lake. But in our program, we spend our days talking with folks about exposure to chemicals in fish from hazardous waste sites or in indoor air.
Huh.
And, you know, with respect to the PFAS, if I could make a plug, you mentioned the concerns about PFAS in fish, and you're right, that is a hot topic right now. And if you look at the studies, you'll see that most U.S. adults or just the general population has measurable levels of PFAS in their system, and fish really isn't the only point of exposure to those chemicals. You also can be exposed to PFAS in drinking water. You could get it from house dust, and then food packaging is another source of PFAS exposure.
What does that stand for? That's an acronym, PFAS.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's a lot easier to say PFAS because that stands for a bit of a mouthful. PFAS are perfluorinated alkyl substances. These are things that are added to food packaging, and they're used for their water, oil, and stain-resistant properties.
Water, oil, and stain-resistant properties in food packaging. So maybe the coating on a coffee cup or the food is put in some sort of container. I buy it, but residual particles from that container get in the food. Is that it?
Yeah, so like a pizza box. You don't want the oil dripping out of the box when you take it home. So we apply chemicals to that to kind of hold in or be repellent to the oil.
Are we still doing that, knowing that these PFAS are concerning? Is there anything to keep companies from using those chemicals right now?
So some PFAS chemicals like PFOS and PFOA have been phased out, but there are still many more that are in use.
What's
and they're not?
Yeah, go ahead. Keep talking.
No, I was just going to say they're not currently regulated.
Well, I want somebody to do something about this tomorrow, for crying out loud. What do you make of my concern about that, Aaron? Is this a fire?
So our counterparts in the federal government have proposed developing drinking water standards for public water supplies for a handful of different PFAS chemicals. And other states, state agencies have done so as well. In Illinois, we have health advisory levels that our partners at Illinois EPA have developed for drinking water.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. It just seems to me like this is the sort of thing that we might find out in 10 years. Oh, yeah, you shouldn't have been doing it then. And I wish we would be a little more proactive about it now. That is, I have PFAS probably in myself right now, right?
Yes. You know, if you look at the data from CDC, most people in the general population have been exposed to PFAS, but those numbers are coming down. If you look at the data, they've declined. Levels of PFOS and PFOA have declined by 80% or 90% since we started monitoring for them in the early part of the century, and part of that may have to do with the phasing out of some of these chemicals.
Yeah,
so that's a good thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll end it there, and maybe I'll call you tomorrow and tell me if they've changed the laws on those other ones. Okay.
Okay.
That's Aaron Martin. He's with the Illinois Department of Public Health. He is the section chief for environmental toxicology. I'm glad we got one of those.